Well, I know it's not in final form because the council may still tweak it, but you can talk about the basics anyway.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Months ago, we held public hearings on four ordinances relating to manufactured housing. And what I've done, I passed down a copy of each, and I hole punched them, so if you have a booklet, you can keep a copy readily available. The first ordinance was number 2152. It was an the ordinance was to amend chapter 115 of the code and related to definitions, and provided a definition for accessory buildings, manufactured home park. And the purpose there, especially on the accessory building, related to at some time we got right down to a point of arguing what accessory building was. I mean, people say accessory building wasn't a shed. And that was kind of the kicker that made us look into the definition of shed to shed. If it's attached to your dwelling and it's used as a shed, it's not a shed, but it's part of the dwelling. So it's an accessory use, but it's not an accessory building. So the intent of the accessory building was to reference it as a detached, unattached structure, basically. And we even used examples of shed, storage building, gazebo, garage, similar structures. And so then we struck the portion of the ordinance that already existed. On the manufactured home, I know there's some folks in the audience that deal with manufactured home references all the time, and they've been called trailers, mobile homes, manufactured homes, single wide, double wides, sectionals. To clean the ordinance up, it's been talked about for years, nobody ever did it, so we changed it to manufactured home, and also known as house, trailer, single wide, double wide, mobile home. And right now the ordinance basically says mobile home, house, trailer, just for reference purposes. And we took it in that definition, we used the same definition that already existed. We struck the word over out of the reference and incorporated not less than 450 square feet. And it's in a couple places in the ordinance referencing 450 square foot. And we also struck with or without a permanent foundation and just left it designed without a permanent foundation. Or excuse me, we incorporated with or rather than just without, because a lot of them now are built on permanent foundations.
Class C.
Then we reference manufactured home parks, again, also known as trailer park, trailer court, mobile home park, or community. Originally, it just said trailer park, trailer court, or mobile home park. So we're trying to keep the manufactured home reference first. And in that situation, we struck trailers or mobile homes and incorporated manufactured homes because the definition's already proposed to be replaced for a manufactured home. And then there was another section of the code that made reference to manufactured homes, which we incorporated all into one definition and deleted one of the references so there wasn't a duplication. And basically in the ordinance, we had two definitions of a manufactured home. One was in the regular section, one was in the flood section. Then they basically were the same, but the wording was different. So we established one and incorporated that as the correct one. If you look at the zoning ordinance, when you go into section 2 and section 3 of the proposed ordinance, there's probably 200 or 300 references to trailer or mobile home. And there's probably quite a few referencing trailer court, trailer park, mobile home park. And the intent there was to delete all those sections and replace them with the wording manufactured home, where it referenced trailer or house, trailer or mobile home, and then place the word manufactured home park where it said trailer court, trailer park, mobile home park. So it's house clean. Funny thing, I didn't think there was anything major to that ordinance. The biggest thing in that ordinance, as I said when I started, was the discussion on accessory buildings. The next ordinance was ordinance number 2153, it related to the gross floor area of a manufactured home. There's one reference in the code under C and subsection 187C. It shall have a gross floor area excluding any additions not a part of the original manufactured unit, not less than 450 square feet. That's as revised. Originally it said 400 in a mobile home and a manufactured home park. Yeah, I said it wrong still. But I mean, that's really the only change. We changed in a manufactured home park from 400 to 450, so it'd be consistent anywhere else in the county. And there's very few built to date over 450 square foot. But that's the smallest, because there are some out there, and you've seen some come before the board that are small, but they're well-maintained and well-kept, and they come in for variance or they come in to retain it on less than 5 acres, something of that nature. The third ordinance, and that they were both adopted on October 12th of 2010, on those two ordinances. Now the second twosome, they were held public hearings on the same date, but they were not acted on until December 14th of 2010. And that's ordinance number 2167. It relates to conditional uses regarding manufactured homes. And in reference to special requirements, we deleted steps with related landings not exceeding 28 square feet of lot coverage may project 4 feet into the required setback. And incorporated in its place two new sections, 13 and 14. And they're totally new, and it references that no part of any accessory building shall extend closer than 5 feet to the boundaries of an individual residential site, or within 20 feet to a main residential structure, or addition thereto on another residential site, or, this is the biggest part we added, within 10 feet of an accessory building on another residential site.
Keeps them 5 foot off the line each.
Right. Accessory building to accessory building only. Not accessory building to the manufactured home or the addition thereto. That's still 20.
So it reduces it from 20 to 10 just between accessories?
Just between the accessory building.
So there's no more 20-foot separation between accessory buildings?
Accessory building to accessory building, no.
Right.
Accessory building to a deck or an addition or the home itself, there is a 20-foot state. An existing accessory building of the same dimension may be replaced in the same location if the accessory building was previously permitted by Sussex County and if authorized by park management. The biggest discussion there was the reference to previously permitted by Sussex County. There's accessory buildings out there that have never approved that they had a permit. So we have a little difficulty with that still. So you still see some variance requests for that purpose. The whole intent of these ordinances was try to reduce the amount of volume that comes before the board and the manufacturer home park.
So that just says there's no variance request if they replace a shed with one of the same size, right?
Right. As long as they had a permit prior and it's still approved by the park.
And they're still going to need a building permit from zoning.
Sure.
Or was non-conforming?
Well, the non-conforming status still had to be verified. Now, if we had the survey in the park and looking at aerials, we can look at aerials to go back before zoning. So we have the aerials right in the office that go back to 68. And we can see a lot of things that were there. The majority, there were a few parks in Sussex prior to 68. They weren't super large parks, so mostly smaller ones. Some of the larger ones had just started, and they started just prior to zoning to be ahead of zoning regulations. The zoning regulations were discussed for like a year and a half before they ever came about, and there was a lot of things that started in 67, 68, early 68. The second part of that would be the addition of subsection 14 under 172G. And it says open unenclosed landings with steps and temporary handicap ramps for emergency needs providing access into the main residential structure may project 4 feet into the required side yard setback and the 20-foot separation requirement. Again, that will eliminate a couple of variances that come before the board. An open, unenclosed landing not exceeding 4 feet by 4 feet is where it will establish to be the bounds of the deck or the landing. And then the steps could be whatever it takes to go from the landing down to the grade. Basically limited to 28 square foot with a 4x7. And if you were in a flood zone, you needed more coverage than you could get. Then it continued, open and enclosed landing, the steps shall not be calculated as part of the 35% lot coverage requirement since they are required to provide access to the main residential structure. So we eliminate the 4x4 landing and whatever steps it takes not to be calculated. And then the reference again with temporary handicap ramps may be permitted for emergency needs upon receipt of an affidavit from a doctor on an annual basis for an emergency situation exists and shall be subject to the approval of park management, the director, and the county's chief of building code. The reason for bringing in the building code was that we found that there were a lot of emergency ramps that were not built to code. They didn't have railings, they didn't have the proper slope. So the best way we could work it would bring building code in. Temporary handicap ramp shall be designed and built to county building code and federal guidelines relating to the Americans with Disabilities Act with specified slopes, handrails. That was added into the code for reference purposes. And a temporary handicap ramp permitted under this section shall be removed if the need for it no longer exists. And they're temporary. If they're permanent right up from the start, then they have to meet the code, meet the setback requirements. That was ordinance number 2167. And again, it was adopted on December 14th of 2010. The last one is number 2158, and this relates to variances. And it was an amendment to, again, zoning regulations, Article 27, 115, 211, referencing variances. And we added, again, a new subsection, 211H. In a manufactured home park, if an adjoining lot received a variance for building separation from Sussex County, no variance for building separation caused by the adjoining site's variance shall be required for the replacement of an existing accessory building previously approved by Sussex County, as long as setback requirements are met and the replacement structure is on the same of the same size and on the same footprint. Doesn't say so, but it could be smaller, just would have to meet the criteria. And that would eliminate, again, a few variances. Because what happens, the board might grant a variance, and a year later, the neighbor who didn't oppose the variance all of a sudden find, he would find he's got to have another variance. So you were getting the same lot line with two applications. They should have done them together or, you know, worked it out together or something. And this would eliminate that as long as they had a previously approved approval for that existing structure, whether it be an addition or accessory building. And it'll eliminate, again, a few variances. But we really haven't seen what kind of influence that'll have on the variance process, but there's four ordinances that were discussed through public hearing with the commission, discussed and held public hearing with council. Decisions were rendered by both and supported.
Sounds good.
A little house cleaning, basically, is what I called it. Rick referenced the administrative variances. There's a proposal to do an administrative variance, which would give the director the authority to grant a variance of less than 1 foot. And what we find in the majority of those cases, because we see surveys every day, and you bring a survey in today versus a survey even 10 years ago, there's going to be a difference in what the survey came up with because of the modern technology used today. Years ago, they were using chains, and then they used tapes, and then they used transits, and now they're using lasers, and all four of them will be different. So there was a proposal, and it's in the works to consider 1 foot. And it's a may clause, it's not a shall. It does not say shall, it says may. We fought this actually for 15 or 20 years, even considering it. Kent and Newcastle both do it. One of them does the 1 foot, one of them does 10%. Now 10% from 10 foot's a foot, but 10% from a 200 foot requirement for a commercial activity like a poultry house or something like that, and you could impact a neighbor more, because you're taking 20, you're giving up 20. We felt the 1 foot was the more appropriate if we even consider it. 10%. We haven't gone to public hearing yet, it's just in the discussion phase, so we haven't drafted the final draft yet.
That would be from setbacks or height, anything that measured by?
Yeah, typically.
Road frontage?
Typically, it's setback, basically. Yeah, it could be they come in with 150-foot lot width, and then we find 149 based on a survey, based on angles. We have to look at those anyway.
Right.
And the way it's interpreted in the code has been that you can establish, for the example, using width, 150-foot could be at road frontage, 150-foot could be at the setback requirement, because the real definition says that the 40-foot setback requirement or the 30-foot or 25, whichever is required at that time. And you could have lesser at the front, and as long as you have the width at the setback, the lots can be approved. And it was interpreted that it could be either. You have it at frontage or you have it at setback. So the buildable space is still the same. I mean, that's just in discussion phase, but again, it'll eliminate a couple of variances. It's
silly to have a variance.
When you get a variance for 0.6 foot, 6/10 of a foot.
Well, and a lot of that was previously covered by getting surveyors to adjust lines. And anyway, so. You know,
sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, there's been situations where you had two lots side by side. They built a dwelling or built an addition or built an accessory building. And when they built it, it turned out to be too close to the line because it wasn't monumented properly, maybe it wasn't monumented at all. And we've had surveyors actually take the two exact square footages and swing the line. As long as they met the width requirement and the depth requirement, we could adjust it. And it didn't have to come in for a variance, but it probably cost them more doing that than it did to apply for the variance. Or similar. Yeah, they meant that. You can have some real negativity, and the biggest concern I had was a large tract developer coming in, big developer coming in with a big project, and we granted him an administrative variance for a lot. Let's say he built 100, but they say he just had one to grant a variance. Six months later, he came in with another one just like it. I might have granted that first one, but the second one's going to be questionable. And that's why I made sure it says may, or we suggested it says may, because we don't have to, because it'll reference that it would have to go to the board otherwise.
1 foot times 1,000 lots adds a few more lots, doesn't it?
Yeah, it can. Really can.
I've got quite a few.
Mm-hmm. But that's in the works. Might get rejected by council before it even gets finally introduced. But as I noted, the Kent County does, I can't remember which one does which, but one does 1 foot, one does 10%.
Municipalities all have that same power.
And so most of them do. Yeah, most of the towns do.
It'll bring us into the modern age.
Okay, Lord.
Sounds great.
We thank you for sharing that with us.
And the very last thing then, Mr. Chairman, I think John started one of these a little while ago. It's kind of like a little checklist. I've spent a little bit of time tweaking it. I don't know if Lawrence got it and looked at it or not, but the thing we've been giving out with the applications was that series of questions. It was Bud and I developed some years ago. It was designed to try to stimulate some thought anyway and get some people in here who have actually considered their presentations. But as you know from all your years here, it doesn't always work. We're still getting a lot of people in here who are kind of clueless as to what their requirements are. So what we're going to try to do is to drill it into their heads a little bit stronger and tell them these are the things you've got to prove to the board and you've got to do each and every one of them. And we're going to make sure that they read it because they're going to be asked to sign it. And then leave it when they do their application. So it's not necessarily in final form. I just wanted to circulate it and let you guys take a gander at it and
Okay. See
if you want to add something, delete something, whatever. The only thing I'd suggest, try to keep it so we keep it on one page, because I think I've just found you get multiple pages, they're going to be less likely to go through it. But
bring it back to our next meeting.
I just looked at the agenda; it looks really full for the 28th. So maybe the
March,
the one in March. Yeah.
Okay.
One thing that the
March 7th
staff does now is that you've seen the questionnaire we passed out for several years. That's like 3 pages, but it gives space for them to make responsive if so desire, and they can bring it with them. But it doesn't, as you said, I think it's a little long and it cumbersome, and they just don't seem to want to. They come in, they write no, or they write yes.
Yeah, right.
And yes and no doesn't work. You need to be you need to detail the reason that you're trying to comply with that stipulation.
Well, and even beyond that, what I was hearing a lot of, they were reading through that, answering the questions, and they'd even come to the one, was it created by the applicant? And they go, yes. And they weren't understanding. I don't think that, it can't be. So.
That's all I had, sir.
Again, I think it's a benefit to the applicant as much as it is to the board. And it's beneficial to the opposition, too, because they can take the same form and come up with the same the opposite reasons to oppose.
Sure. Yeah, right there.
It's all in front of everybody.
Okay. Gentlemen, everyone, then, we are adjourned. Thank you, Mr. Lynch, Susan, for what you've got for us. And your help. Keeping me straight, keeping them in order for me tonight.